Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
I'd like to read from Romans chapter 10. There's nothing like the message of the gospel. I was saved as a young boy, 10 years old, through a verse in Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read it tonight. And I want you to think and ask yourself the question, do you know that you're saved? What does the first verse here say? This is the great Apostle Paul. This is the man that wrote an awful lot of the New Testament, who was saved himself on the Damascus Road. The world talks about a Damascus Road experience. It all comes from this man's conversion, which is in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 9. But this is what he's saying after he has come to know Christ as his Saviour. He says, brethren, so this is brothers, people that he's writing to, he's saying, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Now, when you see Israel, what he's talking about is the people that were part of his nation, people that were part of his family, people that were part of his town that he came from. It's people he's thinking about, not a country, not a nation in that sense. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? What he's talking about here is, what saith the righteousness of faith? What is the message that the righteousness of faith has for us? He says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. What the New Testament does is, it separates people into just Jew and Greek. That word Greek means Gentile. It means of all the other nations. So Paul was a Jew. The Lord Jesus came to Israel, but he came with a message for the world, not just for the Jews. And so he says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the nations. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm sure that God will bless his word to us tonight. I wasn't sure what to speak on tonight. I've got notes in 1 Corinthians 15. I love 1 Corinthians 15. Talking about the resurrection of Christ. When Paul emphasizes how important it is for those that believe in Christ that they appreciate the reality of the resurrection of Christ and what it means for everyone that trusts in him. You know, we sang a hymn tonight, oh wonderful, wonderful story. Graham in his prayer was mentioning the story of the Lord, but he'll not mind me saying this. When we're talking about a story, we're not talking about a fable. We're not talking about mythology. We're talking about history. And that's what I love about the gospel. I love this, that it's rooted in history. real history. You maybe have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were discovered in a cave in Qumran. And one of the great things about the Dead Sea Scrolls was that they pulled out of that cave, apart from other scriptures, in a jar, the oldest copy that the world has of Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament. And Isaiah the prophet tells us about the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus, of how he was despised by people, of how he was crucified, of how he died. And before you get to that end of the chapter there, it says that they'll see of the travel of his soul and he'll be satisfied. And it's pointing towards his resurrection and his future kingdom. And it's all recorded there, written 700 years before the Lord Jesus came into the world. And then he came. And you know, that was a great thing when Paul was preaching the gospel or any of the other early apostles. You imagine a disciple that walked along the road with the Lord Jesus, listening to him all the time. A man, by the way, a disciple of the Lord, who after he had died, had not even grasped what the Lord Jesus had told them, that he was going to rise again from the dead. And there they are, hiding themselves away for fear of the Jews, it says, because they're afraid that the people that came and took Christ are going to come and take them. And they're going to crucify them along with what they did to the Lord. And they're scared about what's going to happen. What made the difference? What changed them? What made them into people that stood up and preached the gospel about Christ's death and his resurrection? It's because they saw him risen from the dead. They saw him risen from the dead. And this chapter here mentions that. What Paul is saying is, if you want to be saved, your salvation depends on someone that not only died for your sins, but that rose again from the dead. The power of God was demonstrated in this man. And they had seen him risen from the dead. And the big problem was, for him, for his own people, it's a problem that a lot of people have, those that profess to believe in God in our world today. They think that somehow they can work their way to heaven. They think that somehow I do my best to follow what God wants me to do, and that's going to get me to heaven. You know, the problem for the Jew was he just couldn't understand the cross of Christ. You know what the cross of Christ was? It was the greatest demonstration of love that this world has ever seen. Our problem is, very often, that when we think that we are right, and that we think that we understand the best thing, and many people in the world today, with due respect, say, I've got my own faith. I'm following my own way. Yeah, I've got faith. I'm a spiritual person. I've got my own way. I've got my own religion, if you like, because that's what it is, just a belief system. Even the atheist has a belief system. You know that. His faith is that he doesn't believe in God. His faith, his belief, is in some great big bang explosion that brought everything into being. It all came out of nothing. The biggest issue that he has is that our minds can't comprehend nothing. All we know is something. But there had to be a beginning. So there had to be someone that was eternal behind it all. And our biggest problem is, just like these men and women that Paul is talking about, that we struggle with submitting ourselves to what God says. He says they won't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. They won't see it the way that God wants them to see it. And you know what the gospel is? The gospel comes, it cuts across all our thinking. It doesn't leave us as intellectual paupers or anything like that, but it cuts across all of our thinking, which is in opposition to God. It tells us that we can't work our way to salvation. It tells us that we have to answer to a righteous and a holy God. It tells us that we are sinners and we're the same as everybody else. We don't like it. It tells us that we are facing the judgment of God and we don't We struggle with submitting ourselves to it. They will not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. You know, when I got saved as a young boy, but I could tell this story for a lot of people that got saved in middle age or got saved in older age. There comes a point where you repent before God. And you know what that just means? It just means that I just put myself to one side entirely. All that I thought, I'm going to turn away from all of my thinking and my own way, and I'm going to accept that God is right about me. He's right about my sin. He's right about the fact that I'm facing judgment without him. He's right that I have a conscience that tells me about my sin and I can't solve it myself. He's right about me. And I see the only answer is to be found in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that's the first part of this chapter here. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know, what I'm really saying is I get down on my knees before God and I say, Lord, I'm helpless on my own. The best I can do is not good enough. I'm just a sinner and I desperately need you to save me because of what I am. I'm just willing to submit myself. He says that was their problem. This man, when he got saved, he found himself on the dust. He was just lying there before God. And eventually the cry came from his mouth, Lord, what will you have me to do? He knew that the one that had died on the cross and risen again from the dead was the man that was in heaven. Jesus, he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene. What that was to overcome for Paul of Tarsus, this Jew. Jesus the Nazarene was the one that was his Lord. The one that had died on a cross and risen again from the dead. You know what's interesting about this? We're coming up to Christmas time. He takes an Old Testament passage, which is to do with the law. And he says the law isn't far from you. Deuteronomy chapter 30. The commandment is near you. It's not far away. He's saying it's not in the heavens. Really, if you go back to Deuteronomy, he's saying it's not in the skies, out of your reach. And it's not way across the sea, somewhere that you kind of get to. The commandment's not far from you. So just to explain that, God gave them the law. There it is. You follow it. It's all there in black and white. And he's saying here, the word is not far from you. It's near you. It's near you. Even in your mouth and in your heart. And he says, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. You know what this is telling us? This is telling us faith in Christ grasps the fact. The reality that someone came from heaven down into this world. The baby that Mary, the Virgin Mary, held in her arms was the Lord from heaven. His life was a demonstration of who he was. You got sin in your life, I've got sin in mine. I love reading in John chapter 8. That woman that was taken in sin, and the Lord Jesus basically expels everyone from his presence that day when he asks, he that is without sin, first cast a stone at her. When they brought her in judgment. But he didn't say that. He said, he that is without sin among you, first cast a stone. There was only one man that stood there without sin. It was the Lord Jesus. And then further down that passage, after he tells them that he is the light of the world, they're coming to him and they're accusing him of everything. Everything they could think of. In their hatred because of what he was teaching, of the necessity to get right with God or they would die in their sins. He says to them, which of you, he's looking at these religious men, religious people, self-righteous people. He's looking at the ordinary Jew that's standing there that day, the men and women that are gathered around, the people that might have known him, the disciples that followed him every day of his life. He says, which of you convicts me of sin? Not one word. What was it like to see a sinless man in this world? What was it like? You know what this sinless man was like? He wasn't like someone that cloistered himself away in a monastery somewhere. It wasn't somebody that kept himself apart from everyone else. He never walked about and people never really got to know him or understand him because he seemed so distant. He came right to where we were. And he mixed among people that were sinners. That was one of the contradictions, one of the things they criticised him for. He mixed with people that they classed as sinners. Why was that? Because it's sinners that need him. If you're in your sins here tonight, you need him above everything else. You need him to be your saviour. And what he showed them was the compassion that was in the heart of God. He showed them the grace that was in the heart of God. Oh, he would condemn their sin. But the first cry from someone that needed him, and he responds to them. Even when he's dying on the cross, the man that's hanging beside him is calling out for his help when he realises that the Lord is coming into his kingdom one day. The man knew that this was the Messiah. Imagine that. Some of the disciples had never grasped. The man knew there was resurrection coming. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Lord says, today you'll be with me in paradise. This man has love in his heart for the sinner. He came down from heaven. Don't let the world tell you anything else. It was a fact. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And you know the other thing that the world doesn't accept today, which is in history, the evidence of it is all there as well, that he rose again from the dead. Who shall descend into the deep, into the grave? That is to raise Christ up again from the dead. You know, it's amazing how up to date this scripture is to the world that we live in today. His coming into the world, he came from heaven, he was the Son of God, revealed on earth as a man. And he died on a cross and he rose again from the dead. And what was the reason for that? Just so he could be your saviour. That's the love that's in the heart of God. Just so he can be my saviour, he died on a cross and rose from the dead. And I'll tell you, he suffered when he died on that cross. Men hated him without a cause. You know what the heart of man is like? I'll tell you what the heart of man is like. You think about it. When you've got someone before you, a sinless, holy man, who's never cursed, threatened them with revenge, or done anything like that before them, What do these type of men try to do? They try to break him. That's what they try to do. I'm sure they try to do that with a whip when they lashed his back. When they smote him on the face, when they spat in his face, they would try to break him. You know what his words were? Yeah, words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, that prayer has been answered, my friend. It really has. There's people sitting in here tonight who had no time for Christ in their lives, but they came to a point where they went to him and they pled for his mercy. What does he do? He forgives us. We come to him in all of our need and we just trust in him. We recognise that the man that died on the cross and rose again from the dead rose to be our saviour. And he says the word is near you. Now, I don't know how often you've heard the gospel. Every time you sit in a gospel meeting, the word is near you. He says it's even in your mouth and in your heart. You can repeat the scripture. John 3:16 you might know by heart. Other verses of scripture you might know. The gospel might be known to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. But there has to come to a point where you confess him. Where you receive him for yourself. And that's what we have in here. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. I'll tell you, the power of God was displayed in his resurrection. The love of God was seen in his death. You know what the scripture says? He was delivered up. That's the cross. He was delivered up for our offences, our sins. And he was raised again for our justification. You know what that means? So that God can declare us to be righteous. Simply by faith in him. It's the simplest thing in the world, but so many people struggle with this. All God wants from you is nothing but your trust. Nothing but repentance and faith. It's the whole of the New Testament preaching of the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn away from yourself. It's based in history. It's based in reality. Reality for every one of us. We need to be honest with ourselves. I know that I'm a sinner. You know that you're a sinner. God has made a way possible that you could be saved, which meets you right at the point of your need. This is real. Salvation is real. God is ready and willing to save. And he's no respecter of persons. That's the lovely thing about this here as well. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Look how he reverses the order in the next verse. The two things go together. Believing in your heart, confessing him as Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care your background, where you're from, what your life has been. Some people have terrible lives. Some people have a lovely upbringing. Some people have great friends. Some people wish they never had these friends. Some people's lives are upside down. They despair of it every day. Some people, they think their lives are great. All of us are sinners in need of a saviour. Every single one. And this scripture here says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, it's a cry from the heart because you need him. The bondage of sin holds us down. Eventually, if we're not saved, we face the consequences of our own sins in hell. You know what Christ came to do? He preached it one day in Nazareth. He came to break the chains and set people free. Deliver the captives. So sin does to us. But there's wonderful freedom to be found in Christ. I remember a young man was saved in our area and he came to see me shortly afterwards. And he spent quite a background in trouble with police and all the rest of it. And I said to him, what is do you feel is the greatest thing since you got saved? He said, I just feel as if I've been set free. Set free. That's what he can do for you when he saves you. Whosoever, anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll just close in prayer.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.